Familiar faces everywhere, and not all of them real presidents.
I suppose I should be pleased that I'm finally going to be hung in our nation's attic. Of course, if they knew what was in my basement, they wouldn't hang me so close to Lincoln. I'd end up next to Booth instead.
Is that the voice of President Francis Underwood? One of the things we could learn in the premiere this week of the fourth season of Netflix House of Cards is how much it costs to rent the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery to shoot a scene. The series kicks off with the unveiling of a 6x6-foot portrait of the show's lead character, President Francis Underwood, played by Kevin Spacey, painted by the British portrait artist Jonathan Yeo. Yeo says there were a lot of things driving this collision between reality and art. It was a chance, he says, to have an image capable of making an artistic statement on many levels at once.
That's the nub of it, really. I try to go and see the performance itself. So if it's a play, obviously, that you see it live. I went to see him on set when he was actually recording some of it. I'd watched the finished performance, and when he came to sit for me, he was already filming the next series, so he was back in character a bit.
Because in a way, as an artist, you're trying to get into the depth of the character, but here you're trying to get into the depth of the surface.
That's exactly the dilemma. So take my premise has always been that your face tells you your whole story, you know, whether it's contradicting what someone's saying, or it's just communicating in a non-verbal way, which we all do, and the signals we read in a non-verbal way, that we communicate, it's a big part of the way we communicate. And obviously, as a portrait painter, you're suggesting that either those expressions or the lines that have been etched on your face from years of behavior or reacting in a certain way are the inner truth about you. And therefore, an actor is trying to deceive you. Yeah, he's trying to imply that he's not the person he really is, but he's someone else. And he's using his face in large part to do that. And so almost by definition, the better they're doing their job, the harder it is for me as a portrait painter to do mine.
You make a great case. But I do have to say, in this election, the 2016 election, I maybe could do without another reminder of how blurred the lines of entertainment and politics are. It's hurting me, Jonathan. It's really hurting me.
I don't think it's as much fun for either of us, for me and for Kevin either, as we thought at the start. I think we were aware that the timing of this would coincide with the beginning of the campaign. And these campaigns, especially in America, are always of great interest to not just, I mean, obviously locally, but to the rest of the world too. I don't think any of us really imagined at that stage, even when there was a thought that you might have a character like Donald Trump involved, that we'd already be at the stage where it looked like a very real possibility that he was going to be absolutely central to the whole campaign.
It is not the first actor to hang in the presidential portrait gallery. That would be Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
absolutely. You don't have that.
So. Absolutely. And, you know, and in our country, we haven't had people who've been actual professional actors as prime ministers, but we've certainly had people who seem to be very good at acting in retrospect.
Another way that we're ahead of you and we're trying. It actually makes me feel worse that you and Spacey didn't on your own concoct the whole Trump thing. And it just happened randomly. Well, you said we didn't come up with it, but I actually would have felt better if you'd said we did come up with it.
I didn't, but I wouldn't put anything past Kevin's brilliant, right. Evil genius mind.
Why do people in the UK like him?
I think everyone likes him. I don't think it's just in the UK. I think he also has a brilliant. I mean, in some ways, the fact that he came to the UK and did Shakespeare, you know, probably better than anyone had done it for years. And I think sometimes it takes an outsider to do something very brilliantly, which you think is your own, to take over a theatre, which we thought was, you know, one of our great national treasures, and make it much more successful and much better, and remind people why it's good. I think it sometimes in any country takes an outsider, sometimes come in and shine a spotlight on something for you to really understand it. You know, what's unique about it?
Did you know the line that he says in the scene where it hangs? Maybe someone will walk by and think I'm going to kick them in the face. Did you know that that line was in the script?
I didn't know it was in the script, but it's something which we had. You know, he's got a lovely attention to detail, and he was interested in how I was going to do it. He wasn't trying to tell me how to do it, but he was fascinated by why I'd done everything for what reason. And there is that ambiguity. The foot does. I wanted the foot to feel like it's coming out at you. And I think that's one of the successful things about the picture. And you are closer to the foot because of the size of the painting, and then you are to the head. And therefore, I think you get a sense that this person is not to be trusted.
Yeah.
And, you know, makes you step back a little bit further from it than you might another painting.
Well, it's a part of the blurring. The painting suggests the line, whether it was in the script or not.
Well, that's the idea. And I think that, you know, without, again, overstating it, there was such an obvious bit of fun to be had on so many levels because of this particular character and the context of where it's going to hang and the parallels between his job, my job, the Smithsonian's job against the backdrop of this election, which was just a lovely coming together. And it's possibly a one-off opportunity to demonstrate all these things in one painting.
Finally, talking about the Smithsonian's job for a moment, you know, there are people who listen to this conversation and go, oh, the National Portrait Gallery, I mean, they might even not, you know, make the top 10 list of things to visit when you're in Washington. I mean, you know, they don't have the rockets like the Air and Space Museum. They don't have, you know, the Capitol or the big Lincoln Memorial. You know, they aren't on any of the money. You know, I mean, some of the presidents are, but the Portrait Gallery, you know, you got to kind of dig to figure out that that's there. This is just their way of marketing themselves. So,
well, I mean, by putting a picture up, it is their job to put paintings up. But I think,
but are they sullying their mission by having you do this?
I mean, personally, I'd absolutely argue the opposite. And I think that the way people, I think people didn't get it. If people came away confused, then that would be a plausible argument. But I think we all realized that was unlikely to be the case. And I mean, you say it's off the map. It is one of the best galleries of its kind in the world, if not the best. It's many times bigger than the one in London. Mm. And I think that sometimes it just takes something like this where, you know, we were lucky to get as much interest in it as we have. I've been blown away by how much people have connected with this painting. But also, apparently, people now going to the gallery who haven't been there for a long time and realizing what an amazing collection they have. And I think that it's, you know, you need imaginative people running these galleries just to sort of like make them, to remind people that they're there. It's a great national institution and people should go there and enjoy it more.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
Jonathan Yeo's Portrait of President Francis Underwood now hangs in the Smithsonian, and the new series of House of Cards starts later this week on Netflix.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.